Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. I'm happy to advise that on September 2nd, 2021, my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God was released for sale. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning, and let me welcome to Kansas City, Kansas Christian Faith Center. This is Pastor John McIntosh. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. I pray for everyone in the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. We honor the best gifts of the Holy Spirit to be in operation during this broadcast, especially the gifts of healing. Satan, we rebuke and remind you and render your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and covenant with you, Father, in the name of Jesus the Christ, the Anointing One, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, please, if you have your Bibles, please open to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. And we will continue with our teaching on the meaning and the importance of faith. So if you found Hebrews, chapter 11, please go to verse 6. And we will read our foundational scripture we have been using for our teaching. Hebrews 11:6, and it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Amen. So we see by the word of God that without faith, there is no way you can please our Heavenly Father. Now, please go with me to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans, chapter 1. And please go to verse 17. Romans 1, 17. And it says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just are those that have been declared righteous shall live by faith." Now, the word "from faith to faith" in this verse means that faith is at the beginning of the salvation process, and it is the goal as well. Now, please go with me, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians, chapter 2. And please go to verse number 8. And it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." Amen. So faith is a gift, and faith is the channel, not the cause, of God's salvation alone. When you as a believer first begin to exercise faith in Christ, you are saved from the penalty of sin and declared righteous. As a believer lives by faith, God continues to save him or her from the power of sin to live righteously. Now please go to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. Habakkuk, chapter 2. And please go to verse number 4. And it says, "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." Now, the word proud refers to the Babylonians at this time in history, which exalted themselves and boast on their conquest and power. They also had no regard for God, his commandments, or his people. True righteousness before God is linked to genuine faith in God. The proud person relies on himself, power, position, and accomplishments, but the righteous person relies on God by faith. Amen. So the just, those who have been declared righteous, shall live by faith. That faith is a lifestyle we live by every day. Faith is not a fad that you can employ when it's convenient with your needs or desires. God did not design the system to work that way, and you will not receive the rewards that God has for you who diligently seek after him. One of the things you have to learn early on, if you are going to be successful with God, and I repeat, successful with God, is to learn how to talk God talk. In other words, you must learn how to think God's thoughts and talk God talk. Now, please go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And go to verse number 17. Very familiar passage. And it says, "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations or people, in the presence of him who he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and called those things which do not exist as though they were." This was the Apostle Paul talking about faith and using the patriot Abraham as an illustration of it. God had told Abraham he would have a child. Paul is quoting what was written, and it said, "I have made you a father of many nations." When God said that to Abraham, he did not have any children at the time. In the natural, Sarah, his wife, could not have any children. But here is Almighty God, amen, a holy God who cannot lie, said, "I have made you a father of many nations," and the man did not have any children. Now think with me for a moment. How could God, the creator of the ends of the earth, a God who requires a man to live in holiness, who demands us to live righteously, have the audacity to lie to this man, Abraham, and tell him, "I have made you the father of many nations"? And Abraham had no children and could not in the natural have any. Now, I believe we have a dilemma here. The Bible tells us that God cannot lie, meaning it is impossible for God to lie. Notice what God did not say. He did not say, "I am thinking about making you the father of many nations someday in the future." He did not say, I have been thinking it over in my mind, Abraham, and I am just about ready to make you the father of many nations. No, he didn't say that. He said, I have. That means it's already done. He did not say, I am making you, present tense. He said, I have made you the father of many nations. So the question is, was God lying? The answer, no, he was not. Here is why God could say that. And this is what I meant by God speaking and God thinking. You are going to have to learn how to God speak and God think if you are going to be a victorious, overcoming, joyful Christian. You can be a Christian and not necessarily be a victorious Christian. There are many of them in the world today. But notice again the scriptures in Romans 4:17. And it says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and called those things that do not exist as though they were. That is how God operates. God calls those things that do not exist as though they are. You might think that does not make sense. And you know what? You are 100% absolutely correct, because it is not sense, but it is faith. It is not sense, but it is faith. Now understand this. Faith is faith, and sense is sense. Dogs are dogs, cats are cats. Cats are not dogs, and dogs are not cats. Faith is not sense, and sense is not faith. Faith is faith, and sense is sense, and dogs are dogs, and cats are cats. You never mix them. Remember, everything reproduces after its own kind. So sense after sense, and faith after faith. Amen. You must personally be convinced that faith works without a doubt before this will work for you. Do not do this if you are trying to be like someone else or trying to live by someone else's belief and faith. That is what some have done. They are willing to try it, and then if it don't work and they get too much pain in their body, then they don't stay with it. So it did not work. It did not work because you got scared. And soon as fear comes in, faith goes out. Remember, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. In such cases, the best thing to do is to get to your doctor as fast as you can. I am not saying that I have not done something about pain, because I have, and I have gone to the doctor on some occasions. But it is not always convenient to do something about it at that time. The devil is slick. He's a trickster. He's been doing this for over 2,000 years. He will wait until you are in a position where you cannot conveniently do something about it. Then he will stick you with something, attack your physical body, with some type of pain, or your mind with some type of depression, remember, God said, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but those things which are seen are actually there. But how and now, what do we do about them? All God said was, do not look at them. We do not look at them. He never said to deny their existence. So what do you do in the meantime? Maybe you do have pain. So what do you do? Well, let's go to Mark 4, please. The book of Mark, chapter 4. So what do you do in the meantime when this pain is raging in your body? And it's real. So you found Mark 24? Mark 4, 24. And it says, then he said to them, take heed to what you hear. So you have to be very careful to what you hear. Unfortunately, some Christians never listen to what I am saying in totality. And they never really listen. They get the idea that what I am saying is that you are supposed to deny the pain is there. You are supposed to deny that you feel bad. No, that is not what he said. That is not what God said. God simply said, do not look at how you feel and what you see. He did not say to deny them. He didn't say that at all. You do not allow the circumstances to have victory in your life. God gives the opportunity, and he wants you to have the opportunity for himself to show himself true to you by his word. God gives everyone the opportunity to show himself true to his word. What you have to learn to do is to say what God says. Amen. You have to learn to say what God says. You remember, the scripture says death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it, amen, those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. Now, do you love the fruit of God? Do you desire the fruits of God? Then you have to learn how to say what God says. What you have to learn to do is to say what God says. He calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So if it is all right for the Father to call those things which do not exist as though they did, then certainly it has to be all right for his children to call those things which do not exist as though they were. Remember, the scripture tells us that we would do things even greater than him. Amen. And since the word says that with Jesus' stripes I am healed, and if I was, then I am. And if I am, then I is. And if I is, because faith is. Amen. I am healed. So you confess and believe that you are healed. Amen. You confess and believe that you are healed. Remember, faith is not causative. Pain is symptomatic. Pain is telling you that something is wrong. If you find out what is wrong and clear it up, you will not have the pain. But you have to survive until that happens. So you may need an operation or medication or therapy, a chiropractor, or whatever, you might have to go to see your doctor. This is not a violation of the Word of God. Let me repeat that. You might have to go, in the meantime, to see a doctor or to receive medication or have an operation or a chiropractor or whatever. But this is not a violation of the Word of God. God never told you not to go to a doctor. All God said is, do not look at the circumstances or the problem. Jesus had Luke as one of his chosen disciples in his inner circle, did he not? And what was Luke's profession? Luke was a physician. So if Jesus can have a physician on his staff, we can certainly go to the doctor. It has nothing to do with your faith at all. Amen. Faith is not in opposition to medication. What you need to understand is that medication is not a cure-all. Medication is not a cure-all. God has already built healing into your body and given all the proper parameters. Your body will heal itself. Amen. Sometimes the damage and devastation to your flesh can be overwhelming at times, and your body cannot recover fast enough before it is destroyed. So you may need some medication or perhaps an operation to keep you alive until your faith, working with the natural healing already built into your body, can bring itself back to where it ought to be. Amen? Let me repeat that. You may need some medication or perhaps an operation to keep you alive until your faith, working with the natural healing already built within your body, can bring itself back to where it ought to be. Amen? Aspirins do not heal headaches. All they do is mask the pain. It is not taking the cause of the pain, because as I said about pain, it is symptomatic. Pain is the effect, and whatever is wrong with you is the cause of that pain. If you eliminate the cause, then you will have no effect. If you eliminate the cause, you will have no effect. You don't go around talking about the pain, but you talk about what God says about the pain. God says you are well. So you confess that you believe that you are well. Now, in the meantime, if you can take something that will give you some relief, take it until your faith drives whatever is wrong with you out of your body. Amen. You have to remember that healing is progression. Everything in terms of healing does not happen instantaneously. Jesus said it himself. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Find verse 17 and 18. And it says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues, and they will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, the word recover means progression. It did not say that they will lay hands on the sick and they will instantly be healed or changed. No, it did not say that. It said, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. No, he said they will recover. Recover means to go from one point of healing to the point of being well. Recover means to go from one point of being sick to the point of being well. Well, you know what? We are just about out of time, but we had a wonderful time on teaching on the meaning and the importance of faith. But we please ask you to join us again next week when we'll come back and continue our teaching. But in the meantime, let me invite you to join us every Sunday. I'd like to invite you to our teleconferencing service. You can join us by simply dialing our toll-free conference number at 605-303-4834, access code 997-020-pound. Services start at 2 p.m. sharp. Until then, remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Amen.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.